One of the five canonized on Sunday was Father Damien, the Belgian missionary who devoted 16 years of his life to caring for lepers, isolated on the Hawaiian island of Molokai. He was beatified in the June of 1995 during an apostolic voyage to Belgium by Pope John Paul II. As Jill Bevilacqua tells us, until just recently, leprosy was seen as a most loathsome and repugnant disease, striking fear in the hearts of many, including in that of St. Francis of Assisi.
While modern dictionaries give fairly lengthy descriptions of leprosy in semi-medical terminology, my father's old Shorter Oxford is vivid in its brevity. Leprosy, a loathsome disease which slowly eats away the body and forms shining white scales on the skin, common in medieval Europe. Somehow, one doesn't think of leprosy as being white. And yet the poet Coleridge, in his Rime of the Ancient Mariner, speaking of the spectre woman on the skeleton ship, writes,
"Her skin was white as leprosy. The nightmare life in death was she who thicks man's blood with cold."
Lepers in the time of our Lord and for centuries afterwards were the outcasts of society and had to live on the edge of towns and cities. Not only was their disease infectious, it made their appearance so awful that people could not bear to look at them. Today, when leprosy is no longer incurable, the metaphorical use of the word leper is applied to a person who is shunned for social or moral reasons. But the attitude of revulsion towards the victims of AIDS has shown that we have not progressed very far in our civilization. There are some illnesses which are socially unacceptable. We'd rather not be too close. If we'd lived in the early 13th century, we'd have found the attitude of the young Francis of Assisi towards lepers perfectly normal, so that when God told him to prefer bitterness to sweetness, he had to make a superhuman effort to overcome his natural feelings. He wrote in his testament,
"During my life of sin, nothing disgusted me like seeing victims of leprosy. It was the Lord himself who urged me to go to them. I did so, and ever since, everything was so changed for me that what had seemed at first painful and impossible to overcome became easy and pleasant. Shortly after, I definitely forsook the world."
In his biography of Francis, Omar Engelbert sets the scene and tells the story of the young man's change of heart.
If we are to believe the chronicler, Matthew of Paris, there were no fewer than 20,000 Lazarets in Europe at that time. Everywhere, one would run across these unfortunates, whose putrefying flesh, oozing ulcers, and pestilential odour brought disgust. The young dandy had such a horror of them that if he saw one 2 miles away, he would turn his horse's head and gallop off, holding his nose, and he sent someone else to take alms to him. But one day, at a bend in the road, he suddenly found himself facing a man afflicted with leprosy. His first reaction was to turn back, but he immediately changed his mind, and dismounting, he embraced the wretch, gently putting some coins in his hand. He thereupon felt a great happiness pervade his whole being. It was God keeping his promise and changing bitterness to sweetness for him who had preferred bitterness to sweetness. But the young man was not content with this first victory. He sprang to the saddle and rode to a neighbouring lazaret, apparently St. Lazzaro d'Arce, about 2 miles from Assisi. Francis entered this last refuge of all human misery. He assembled its unfortunate inmates and begged their pardon for having so often despised them. He lingered some time in their company, and while waiting to come and live near them, he distributed money to them and left only after kissing them all on the mouth.
In the June of 1995, on a two-day pastoral visit to Belgium, Pope John Paul beatified Father Damien, the Belgian missionary who devoted 16 years of his life to caring for lepers isolated on the Hawaiian island of Molokai, himself contracting and dying of the disease in the April of 1889. That same year, the first Association Against Leprosy was founded in London, with royal patronage. When Damien arrived in Molokai, he had no shelter for the night but that of a large tree. He nursed the dying in miserable huts, where the air was so foul he could scarcely breathe. For the first few years he worked totally alone. But through his efforts and representations he made to influential people in Hawaii, conditions gradually improved. And by the time of his death, there was a hospital with a doctor and nurses, a school, pretty white cottages. But although the world acclaimed Damien and his work, one man, in a letter to a fellow minister, for he was a minister, expressed surprise at what he called extravagant newspaper laudations, and proceeded to attack Damien's character. The letter was printed in the Sydney newspaper of the minister's denomination, and was read by none other than Robert Louis Stevenson, author of Treasure Island and numerous other successful books. Stevenson was so incensed that he wrote an open letter to the Reverend Dr. Hyde of Honolulu, which appeared in the Scots Observer and later in the Australian Star. Stevenson was persuaded that Hyde's letter was inspired by a certain envy because of the comfort he lived in, and he reminded Hyde that he had never visited the scene of Damien's life and death.
Had you been there when I was pulled ashore there one early morning, it is my belief that nature would have triumphed even more in you. And as the boat drew but a little nearer, and you beheld the stairs crowded with abominable deformations of our common manhood, and saw yourself landing in the midst of such a population as only now and then surrounds us in the horror of a nightmare, what a haggard eye you would have rolled over your reluctant shoulder towards the house on Beretania Street. Had you gone on, had you found every fourth face a blot upon the landscape, had you visited the hospital and seen the butt ends of human beings lying there, almost unrecognizable, but still breathing, still thinking, still remembering, you would have understood that life in the lazaretto is an ordeal from which the nerves of a man's spirit shrink, even as his eye quails under the brightness of the sun. You would have felt it was, even today, a pitiful place to visit and a hell to dwell in.
When the first symptoms of leprosy appeared in Damien, he was not dismayed and told the doctor it was neither a shock nor a trouble to him.
I knew it must come, and it is God's will. Having no doubt myself of the true character of the disease, I feel calm, resigned, and happier among my people.
At his own request, Damien was buried under the great pine tree, which had been his first shelter.
You've been listening to a programme written and presented by Jill Bevilacqua, with readings by Sean Patrick Lovett.